In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In Dante's Inferno, the punishments of hell become more and more horrible the farther down you go. At the very bottom, there are two men who are suffering the very worst punishment. They are in the mouth of Satan, being ground forever by his teeth. Who are these two men? They are the two most famous traitors in history. Brutus, who betrayed Julius Caesar, and Judas, who betrayed Christ. It's not hard to imagine why Dante would choose betrayal as the most awful of sins. Because you expect your enemies to hurt you. When it comes from your friends or your family, the sense of pain and indignation is doubly hard to bear. Joseph's brothers betrayed him. They threw him into a pit. They sat down and ate while he was in a hole without food or water. They sold him into slavery, and then they went home to their own families. Joseph may well have thought that his brothers and their children deserved to be thrown into the pit of hell and ground forever by the teeth of Satan. That would be justice. But somehow, Joseph is brought to the point where he can tell his brothers, "Don't be afraid." And where he can even promise to feed them and their children. Jesus says, turn the other cheek. Love your enemies. Forgive not 7, but 70 times 7. And in the story of Joseph, we see how God brings that about in the lives of his people. I want to focus particularly on Joseph's statement to his brothers. You meant to do harm to me, or you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good. You meant it for evil against me. On one level, I suppose it's a fairly obvious statement, but it's actually quite helpful to us because of what often passes for Christianity today. Especially in this country, Christianity often bears the stamp of pietism, in which the word pious, as William Plaker remarks, often evokes the image of a pale, nervous, unimaginative young person. We pray to a gentle Jesus who experiences none but the most placid of emotions. Though we're not quite sure what to do with the clearing of the temple. And it's this kind of milquetoast piety that leads us to respond when someone sins against us, "Oh, that's okay." In this false piety, feelings of hurt or anger are sure signs of lack of forgiveness. So you have to pretend that it doesn't hurt. And in the worst case scenario, when you can't pretend that because it hurts too much, then you're tempted not to forgive, as if forgiveness would somehow make your feelings of hurt illegitimate. Now, if you want to see how ridiculous this view is, look or just remember what you saw of the refugees in the New Orleans Superdome. I'm sure many of them were Christians. And yet I didn't see anyone saying, "Oh, that's okay. We'll wait a little longer." No, they said, "Help us." And they were indignant. They felt betrayed that the very government officials who were charged with bringing them disaster relief didn't get there sooner. Now, would any of us tell those people, "You shouldn't be angry because you need to forgive"? Would any of us imagine that they should say to the government, oh, that's okay. It's not okay. You see, the lie that is concealed in this milquetoast piety is that forgiveness means there are no feelings of hurt. Whereas the truth is that if everything's okay, if no harm is done, then there's no possibility of forgiveness. Forgiveness assumes there is pain. Forgiveness is not a gentle thing to do. It is a courageous thing to do. You intended to harm me, Joseph said. You meant it for evil against me. He does not cover that up. But he doesn't stop there either. He continues, God intended it for good. That also is a critical recognition, because it means that even in our most gut-wrenching experiences, that our lives are not ultimately controlled by the people that want to hurt us. God has other plans. Even suffering is under the care of the Lord. Now, some of you want to jump to God's defense here and say, you're not saying that God is responsible for evil, are you? You're not saying that God wanted Joseph's brothers to sell him into slavery. You're not saying that God wanted those hijackers 4 years ago to crash the planes into the Twin Towers, are you? Is God responsible for sin? Somehow, Joseph is able to say God intended it for good. And that's stronger than simply God permitted it and then turned good out of it. God intended, the same verb that's used of Joseph's brothers. And when Joseph goes to Egypt, he's able to say, God sent me here. Is God responsible for sin? Well, no one in the history of Christianity, as far as I can tell, has ever taken the position that God is the author of sin. That's not what I'm saying. But as to how we can reconcile God's involvement with this betrayal of Joseph and salvation of the numerous people, or the betrayal of Jesus for that matter, we'll let God sort that out. But we need to be careful before springing to God's defense that we don't defend God by removing ourselves from his care, by saying, oh, God had nothing to do with it. God wasn't in charge at that moment. Joseph's confession is that no matter what his brothers intended by their sin, he still remained under God's care. And the people that have hurt you have not removed you from God's care either. Because the story of Joseph is one instance of a pattern that we see repeated throughout Scripture, a pattern essentially of death and resurrection. That God does not accomplish his purpose in spite of suffering. God does not accomplish his purposes by circumventing suffering. God accomplishes his purposes through suffering. Joseph was sold into slavery, and because of that, he could save a numerous people. Samson is betrayed. His hair is cut. He's made weak. And because of that, he's able to be in a position where he can defeat the Philistines. Christ himself, the culmination of this pattern, is betrayed to death. And because of that, he saves the world and rises to life. And with him, we are buried in baptism. And because of that, we walk in newness of life. So don't be surprised if someone hurts you. Don't minimize it. Don't pretend that it's okay. But also, don't imagine that you're apart from God's care. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.